Blog Talk Radio.
See, now he's got 2 full minutes.
You think it's running on soon now?
He came back with a stop set at 4. So I'll just get out.
So I don't need to do those 2 things? Okay. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, this should actually work. This should actually work because when it stops it, I think you bend it in the skin.
Thank you.
From the bloody cells of Dona Ana County to the crazy circus of the Hillary Clinton campaign and broadcasting from a small, durable, and highly reinforced, patriotically themed single wide trailer. Kelly O'Connell here. Good morning to you, 606. A little bit chilly outside. Got a little bit colder last night. And But it's pretty nice out, 46 degrees right now. I've got a breaking story for you on the investigation to the beating of that gentleman, Mr. Flynn, and a little clip here on the fact that these two officers who were involved in the beating are fired, which means to me, obviously, means to everybody that the city is not standing behind them. So they're going to have to still answer to the lawsuit. But here is a little clip for you. All right. So the explanation that they gave to what happened in this beating was didn't really track with what the video says, which is why these videos are so important. And there is probably going to be a time in America when all police officers are forced to wear videos. And it may be that with the growth in the power of computer components and such, the technology that they the size of the memory on these things is going to be smaller and smaller and more powerful. It is quite possible that the everything that they do is going to be recorded, and then we'll be able to tell at any time when there is a an overreaction by the police, or the mind the mind boggles at the amount of information that is soon going to be available. And so anyway, that's that breaking story. It is 6:09, and today is the 20th of May, and like I say, it's pretty nice outside. It's a little bit chilly to my taste, but the kind of weather that you can get a good night's sleep in, it's cool enough. Got some other city and state stories, and we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Pedro.
Good morning, Pedro. Thanks for calling in. Hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
Well, a couple things, Kelly. You kind of mentioned something that I'm kind of bothered by what you said. You said that, hey, well, the city's not standing by these guys. Well, as a taxpayer, the city should not be standing by these guys. The heck with them. If they're out there doing this stuff, they should be gone. And it's about time the city had the balls to fire somebody.
Well,
second.
Hey, well, hold on a second. And not to defend myself, but I said the city's not standing by them, but, I mean, it's going to have to stand behind the lawsuit.
Right. Unfortunately, and who ultimately stands behind the lawsuit monetarily? We do.
Yep.
And then, secondly, as far as body cameras go, I think every government official should be made to wear a body camera, particularly the policymakers. Thirdly, I have a way to solve all this police brutality crap and all this. The way every police officer's weapon, do like they do in England, give them whistles and belly clubs. But you're going to have to provide 10 times more police officers and pay them $200,000 a year.
So you're defending the police in a tongue-in-cheek manner.
Absolutely right.
Did you
Absolutely
see the
right.
Video?
They need to be
Did you
supported.
See the video?
But when you have dirty ones like that, they need to be hung out to dry, and all the honest cops need to turn on them like a pack of wolves.
Well, it just makes you wonder. I mean, I don't think of the local police force as being brutal, but it does make you wonder when you see the clip how often prisoners, were treated like that, or people that were incarcerated.
Well, I think for the most part, these are isolated instances. And I know that the majority of the officers are out there doing a good job and doing the right thing. But when you have two idiots like that beating up a guy just out of the blue, handcuffed, disabled.
Yep. Yep.
That's wrong. And how do I get in line? I would take a butt whooping for a few million dollars. Where do I get in line for that?
Well, I can arrange the butt whipping for you. The payoff will probably be a little bit harder.
Well, come on, man. It's got to be some good ones. It's got to be for some good money.
You know, there's not a lot of high-paying jobs in this town, so.
All right. Have a good one.
Thanks, Pedro. Good comments. Have a good day.
All right. You got it.
All right, folks. You see stuff like this and you react to it, but I know a lot of cops in town, and I don't know. Most of them are pretty nice, friendly, hardworking. I don't know of any corrupt ones, but I'm sure that they're out there and violent ones, but it's a subset of it. Every population has problems. But anyway, these two guys are fired. Well, the way things go, they'll probably get hired by Albuquerque in a few months. But there's probably, the question is, can they be sued personally? Which, who knows? But I guess it doesn't really matter because the city's on the hook and the lawsuit is probably going to be settled. And if it's a $12 million lawsuit, you can probably guess that it's going to be settled in the millions. And if the city has already pulled the plug on these guys, what does that say about their lawsuit? I mean, it's probably a done deal that they're going to get a settlement out of this. So, all right. So, got some few headlines for you. Scott Walker dazzles on Capitol Hill. He's running in the Republican side, and they say a lack of a college diploma could be a political asset. And we do have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Hey, good morning, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Kelly, why don't they put a cap on these lawsuits?
How so?
Well, I mean, $12 million. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, somebody gets killed. By, say someone gets killed in a car accident by somebody else, I mean, they get like $250,000. And this guy gets his ass kicked in jail, and he gets like millions. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
Because the taxpayers have to pay for it. I mean, this guy should get no more than maybe $125,000, period, end of story.
Based, I mean, I realize you're not holding yourself up as an expert, but based on what?
Based on common sense. Everything's out of whack today.
Common sense?
It's madness. It's madness,
Mike,
and civilization.
Mike, it may be madness, but you're going to cap every police beating at $125,000?
I think that's even too much. I think it should be like $50,000. And a lawyer should get about maybe $5,000.
What if the guy dies?
Well, if the guy dies, then he gets $250,000.
Based on what?
And you got
to. I understand.
You got to establish a precedent.
Mike, I think you're like in our. This is a typical conversation we have. You are missing and totally avoiding my question. Based on what? What is? I know you're. You got common sense, in parentheses here, but what is it? Isn't it related to something?
Well, don't you think that, you know, that guy that got, 17, that was locked in isolation for 2 years or something?
And went insane?
I don't know. I never followed through on the story, but don't you think that's a little ridiculous, $17 million?
All right, so the question you should be asking is how do they calculate damages to begin with? So if
there should be like...
Mike, hold on a second. If I said to you that I will trade you 3 years of your life locked up in solitary, what would that be worth? Give me a dollar figure.
I don't know. I mean,
tell me, you're the one who's coming up with common sense here. 3 years of your life on the table. What are you going to auction it for? And not only that, but you've got to stay in solitary confinement, not have any medical treatment. Your hair grows, your fingernails grow, your toenails grow till they're around the bottom of your toes. Now, what's that worth? Terrible food.
Kelly, if that was such a good idea,
Mike,
$17 million,
with
you, how come this happened?
You can't come back with a, you don't have an answer because you're not connecting it to anything. What are 3 years of your life in solitary worth?
Okay, if they were going to set such an example, if that $17 million settlement, how come this happened?
But, Mike, typically you don't have an answer. You gotta.
I don't think this guy's life, 3 years of his life, is worth
$17 million. Everybody listening is just dying to know what 3 years of your life in solitary is worth, and you don't even bother to take the question seriously. Mike, I got another call. Call me back. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Greg. I got a suggestion for Mike.
Yeah.
Why don't you run for office and run on that platform or go walk the dog? Everybody have a good day.
Take care, Greg. All right, walk the dog. There you go. All right, folks. What I'm asking, Mike, is what I would ask everybody. You can attack lawyers. You can attack the judicial system. But if a bad thing happens, if person A decides to do a bad thing to person B and person B was in their care, was under their control. Say they decide they're angry for whatever reason, they pull out a billy club and beat the guy in the head for 5 minutes, and then that has a certain amount of damages. What is that worth? Why would that be worth $125,000? And where does that figure come from? I understand people are frustrated with the legal system, but these damages are invariably based on something. And they're not arbitrary. There's a national, you know, there's a national trend in everything. Anyway, be right back. 619 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and we'll be right back. And we are talking about, by the way, the $12 million that they're asking for this guy that got beat up in the cell. Is it too much money? I don't know. We'll be right back. Kelly here at 7:23. I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who is this?
Hey, Kelly, I got an answer for Greg. Why doesn't he put on his jetpack and fly away with his rapture theory BS?
You sound like your feelings are a little frosted there, Mike. So anyway,
no, I'm not the one calling up ridiculing. He's very defensive.
All right,
hey,
okay.
Kelly.
Mike. Let me ask you something. What are 3 years? Everybody wants to know when I ask you a question. Everybody would like to know in general, or specifically the answer to the question. In general, people want to know why you refuse to answer questions that everybody is curious about. Why? What's the purpose in calling up and then avoiding an obvious question? What are you gaining?
Okay, look at it this way.
Answer
this
the
way.
Question, Mike.
I'm trying
to,
if you let me.
All right. The problem with me and you is that I don't let you talk. Go ahead.
Say an insurance company. They give you like a policy. You can get an umbrella policy. Why don't they have that for these? Why does the taxpayer have to pay $12 million? How much is the insurance company going
to
pay?
All right. Well, here's the answer to that. We're living in a system in which everybody is part of some entity. You're either in a, you know, you're in a city, you're in a county, you're in a state, whatever. So there is, if you want to talk about an umbrella organization, if an employee of the city, the state, the county, whatever, does something that is a purposeful tort, a tort is, you know, to injure someone, so say a personal attack against somebody, then the person that they work for is liable for that, and the people that are paying those umbrella organizations are the taxpayers. That's just, it's inevitable. How would you get around that?
Why don't they come up with some kind of insurance policy for these cats?
They do have insurance, but I mean, you know, some things can be insured. I mean, if some things can be better insured than others. And, you know, and I mean, sometimes the insurance policy is there is no insurance. It's just that the insurances that this umbrella organization that has X number of millions of dollars in the kitty is on the hook. So, you know, that's why these things are so we're getting impoverished in this county because of dumb decisions like this.
You know, Kelly, that thing with those guys that got probed, they got like $2 million.
And how much would a probing be worth to you, Mike?
I'll bend over for $2 million and let them probe my butt. I don't care. Give me $2 million. I'll do it.
For some people, that would constitute brain surgery. But in any event, so what would 3 years of your life be worth?
$2 million to probe my butt.
Bad medical, bad food, bad, you know, maybe no shower. And let's say at some point you go out of your gourd, you lose your thread, you have a wall experience, a Pink Floyd wall, you just flip out and you're not really treated. So what would that experience be worth to you? 3 years of that.
Okay. Well, that guy that got, 3 years,
Matthew,
he's sitting
down
in the Virgin Islands right now, sipping Mai Tais.
Do you know where Matthew Slavin is? Excuse me, Slavin.
Yes, so he took a selfie. He was down in the Virgin Islands sipping Mai Tais.
Had he clipped his nails yet?
He doesn't have to. He can live like Howard Hughes now.
All right, so you're starting to realize that every event is not worth $125,000, nor should it be.
I'm saying that how do insurance companies, these actuaries, figure out how much things are worth?
I've got a little clip here. Let's listen to it. You ready, Mike? This is determining the value of your case using a personal injury damage calculator. Check this out. This is a very short clip.
I look online and I'll see different organizations or law firms that advertise a personal injury damage calculator. And they ask for the amount of your medical bills. They ask for the amount of your lost wages. They ask a number of different questions about your accident or injury case. And the answer is, there is no such thing as a damage calculator as it relates to a personal injury case. Every single personal injury case is different. People treat for different periods of time. People have different expenses. People have different lost wages. People suffer in very different ways. So there's so many aspects of a personal injury case that you can't possibly take numbers and punch them into some type of a matrix and come out with a value to your case. That's just impossible. You need to speak with an experienced personal injury lawyer who will tell you what they need to do to properly develop your case.
All right. Now, obviously, that is a an advertisement for a law firm, but it puts out a basic truth there, which is when there are damages, each case is different, although there's a general calculus. Now, you might disagree with this, but it's biblical. In the Bible, a tooth was worth so much, an eye was worth so much, and the reason that they did that was to get rid of this perpetual warfare between the tribes when one person got injured. And that's what the actual meaning for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is not a brutal, to start a brutal war. It's to have a measurement of damages. And so we're using that same, if you want to call it, a biblical standard today.
Well, who says that this country is biblical?
Well, that's a whole different argument. I got to go take a break, though, Mike. Thank you for your pondering. And what was it worth? 3 years was worth $2 million to you?
No, $2 billion.
All right. Thank you very much. You just disproved the purpose of your whole call. Thank you. All right, folks. A little bit of Mike in the morning there. All right. So let's take a break. Kelly O'Connell, 1450 KOBE AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 to call in. It's 6:30 on the button, and we will be right back. It's Kelly here, and I've just got another little clip here for you. People are asking, Mike's asking and demanding that every bit of misconduct that's done by an official person would be worth $125,000 max. And maybe he's been influenced by some of these laws that have been changed in places. I think Texas has a cap of like $300,000 on medical malpractice, whatever, which is a totally different issue. But here is punitive damages. Okay, here's the thing. The state has taken custody of somebody. They are responsible for that person. The things that happen when the person is in custody, let's say the police have arrested somebody. Let's say the police pull over someone who's on the suspicion of DUI. And they go up to and talk to the person. The person is obviously intoxicated. All right. So the police pull the person out of the car. And let's just say the person is so drunk they don't even ask him to do these roadside tests, you know. And then they handcuff the guy. But let's just say they're on the side of a busy road and they don't pay attention while they're filling out the paperwork, calling into the station, everything. The guy kind of staggers and then accidentally, is so far out of his mind, he doesn't know what he's doing. He walks out into traffic, and he gets hit by a truck and killed. What would that be worth? Well, one of the things that you would calculate, and that's what this guy was saying earlier, all of these things have a calculation on them. There's different factors, but there's also punitive damages. If the police took the same guy and pushed him in front of a truck, and he was hit and killed, then that would be, you know, egregious or outrageous or just unbelievable conduct, and that would be reflected in the settlement or in the judgment. So here's a little bit on punitive damages, which is where a lot of these millions of dollars in judgments come from. All right, so I would say that this case, this guy, you've got a video of him, and before there was a video, then this case would have never gone anywhere. But he comes up to the door, he kicks it, he doesn't even appear to kick it that hard. These guys come in and throw him around the cell until his skull is cracked open. All right, here we have another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Real brief, Kelly. L. Sharpton's daughter is suing the city of New York for a sprained ankle for $5 million. What do you think of that?
Depends on how she sprained her ankle, but sounds a little bit excessive. Thanks for the call. All right, so these guys are suing for $12 million on this guy that's been beat up. Is that too much? The jury will decide that, but you're not going to end. You know, let's just say they sued for $1 million. They're not going to get $12 million, if you see what I mean. Because they're not going to get more than they asked for. Although that does occasionally happen. All right, let's take a break here. Kelly O'Connell, 639, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450. We will be right back. It is Kelly here, and so one of the things I just want to point out to you is, generally speaking, in tort law, tort is where the law of damages, that damages are provable, unless there's some extraordinary reason not to have provable damages, in other words, to have exemplary or what the gentleman was just talking about, these damages that are added to an injury because of the nature of the injury, how it happened. And, you know, if somebody's in the care of the police or the jailer, they're totally at the mercy of these people. And as you saw, even though this was a big guy, he was handcuffed, and they went in there and they threw him around and bashed his head into the wall, et cetera. So is it worth $12 million? That's a trickier question. I'm not sure. I'd have to see the facts, but I know one thing. It's not worth $125,000. Shame on you, Mike. All right. Las Cruces public school graduation rates skyrocket. And we've got another call here. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
It's Patty.
Patty Riley, citizen journalist. What's up? Turn down the radio.
I did. I want to say first, whoever called in to slam Mike needs to get a hold on it. We don't need to be divide and conquer here. Come up with some solutions. Mike wants to find some answers, and he's trying to make some solutions here. This calling up and slamming people, or telling them they're stupid for what they're saying, is wrong. That's exactly what's going on. And the real problem is systemic within. And those are the real criminals, even here on our local level. Those are the ones who need to go to jail. And I'm telling you what, they know who they are. And I think we all know who they are, if you've lived here long enough. And I guarantee you, that's what's coming down.
Who are they?
Who are they?
Yes.
Well, it's just old families. We'll just say it's old money. It's just old, like everything else in this country. It's old. And they're the ones doing all the power trips, doing all the making all the decisions for us. And yeah, Kelly, we're impoverished here, and it's going to get worse. I mean, this is something they signed us on to, what, back in 1971.
What is?
Agenda 21, if you want to call it that. It's the move it's the Agenda 21.
Agenda 21 didn't exist back then, but
It did.
In 1971?
They came here in 1971. They sure did.
All right, I'll have
They started with the war on drugs, which is a big farce. And my mother and my father were asked to be on those councils, and they walked out because they knew it was a big farce. That's where it started. Look, this town is so corrupt. It's within. You all need to wake up. We need to stop fighting with each other and come together. This is ridiculousness. And I'm tired of everybody slamming other people for ideas or for answers. You know what? Don't. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to the show because it's all about a bunch of one-sided conversations.
All right. Thank you, Patty. Thank you for your enlightened commentary. All right. Here we go. The Las Cruces public school graduation rates skyrocket.
Parents, teachers.
Pretty good, huh? Pretty impressive. And here's something about our roads. They're the 10th worst roads in the nation. Uh-oh. All right, so 647, we're going to have the Rawson report in just a minute. Patty says we need to have a we need to have a love fest. We need to get together and do a little kumbaya. So she's asking for a moratorium on criticism. Her criticism and her apparent rejection of the show, she's sick and tired of it, is that there's too much criticism. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in if you want to criticize Patty. We'll be right back. It's Kelly here, 651, and we've got a caller. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly.
Mike, fourth call in the first hour. I think you set a new record, even for yourself. What's going on?
Okay, when a judge sets bail, say like with these bikers, he set $1 million bail for those 170 people.
Yes.
How does he figure $1 million?
Three things go into bail. The first one is the nature of the crime. The second one is the danger to the community. And the third is the flight risk. So those three things create the bail, or out of which those three factors, bail is calculated.
But don't you think it's like guilty? You're accused.
Probably.
I mean, $1 million. How does he know what these people have done?
Well, because the judge is presented with the information, and you know, here we've got this guy. he or she is charged with this crime. Well, what's the evidence? Well, we have strong evidence, and you know, we've got a gun, we've got fingerprints, we've got a dead body. The person was found at the scene holding the gun. You could put all these things into it. And as a matter of fact, there were eyewitnesses at the scene of this crime that could quite easily describe, you know, without having to go through a trial, a reason for keeping someone in or giving them a bond, the size of which, small or large.
Is there any chance that he might lower it for some?
Of course. It's case by case. But, you know, that it, our tradition, the Anglo-American tradition, way, way back before the Magna Carta, there's a presumption on the right to be out of incarceration until your trial.
And, Kelly, the other thing, you kind of, like, pass it like a hot potato. L. Sharpton's daughter
I know, but I don't know anything about the case, and I really don't care about Al Sharpton. I definitely don't care about his daughter. You know, she's probably eating a corn dog and stepped off the curb and wasn't watching what she was doing.
Crazy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this guy, he's a grifter, so he's probably got a family of grifters. Anyway, thanks a lot, Mike. Cut him off before he can launch anything else off there. Okay, got some stories I wanted to get to. Not that 15 or 20 minutes of Mike talking on the air isn't a good, you know, isn't good radio. Of course, Santa Fe releasing 18 million gallons of water from watershed. This is interesting. City of Santa Fe has two storage reservoirs. One is currently under repair, and they had so much rain that they had to release 18 million gallons from one. It's going to take about 3 days. So hopefully that's news for us. And, you know, it's, you know, portentous, as they say. All right. New rabies strain found in Lincoln County. Check this out. Sounds like the bats are hanging out with the foxes. All right. So we've been talking today about this story of these two gentlemen, the two police officers who were in the facility. I assume it was at Dona Ana Correctional, and there was although I don't know, but that's I assume where it happened. The guy that they had locked up, maybe it was in police headquarters, but the guy kicked the door, and they came into the cell and they grabbed him, and there's two guys on him, and they kind of threw him over towards the bench and then basically pushed him or threw him into the wall where he hit his head and cracked his skull. He broke some ribs, and I believe he was already a handicapped person or a disabled person. So now they're being sued for, the city is being sued for $12 million. In the meantime, the two police officers have been fired, so they could be personally sued. And one of the factors that would deal with that is a person who's a public employee is liable to be sued if their actions are what you could call ultra vires, or outside of their powers, or outside of their normal, you know, what is expected. So there's a lot of different factors to go into the analysis of these things, but like I say, they'll probably end up working up in Albuquerque, but this case will be settled. It'll be settled in the millions, I'm sure. And then we're going to have to pay for it, which is what Mike was complaining about. So I don't think the answer is to limit the payment, Mike. I think the answer is to stop doing stuff like this. And, that's it. You know, I mean, there's always going to be bad seeds in a workforce. But, you know, this type of thing is just costing us tens of millions of dollars that we don't have. By the way, we also need to fund the sheriff's department. So let's take that $4 million that the county commission claimed was going to them and give it to them. And stop playing games, stop playing accounting games. I'm going to have Ben Rossin in a few minutes. We can talk about that. We can also talk about how these lawsuits, losing these lawsuits affects the financial vitality of the the budget of the county and the city. So we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And it's about 6:59. We will be back after a break on the hour. Good morning. It's Kelly, 706. It's the 20th of May, and we've got Ben Rossin here to talk a little bit about the county. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
As always, we appreciate it. And how's the baby?
Doing great. Doing great.
What's the weight?
You know, Kelly, I don't have an updated weight for you. We weighed Luke in at the hospital and then at the doctor's appointment right after that, but that's about it.
I gotcha. Maybe too young to weigh it. All right. So now, when you saw that these two cops were fired, what thought came into your mind?
Well, you know, Kelly, unfortunately, being on the county commission, immediately you start to think about costs and what's going to happen as a result to the budget, because you know that's going to be an expensive thing.
I mean, it could easily be $6 million, I mean, if they'd settled it, you know? And that comes out of where?
Well, Kelly, the county commission or any government entity doesn't have its own money. All the money that the government has comes from individuals living in the community. So,
and Mike was calling up asking why we couldn't avoid this by getting insurance.
You know, Kelly, we do have insurance. I don't know the details on exactly what will be covered and what won't be covered on that.
It's possible to have insurance and not have something covered.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and anyone who's ever had something happen at their home or on their vehicle is aware of that, and you got to make sure you read the fine details on that.
All right, so, but we might have to factor that into the next budget. All right, so what's on your mind? What's been going on in the county?
You know, Kelly, probably the biggest thing that's ongoing is this budget debacle, and it's an utter embarrassment at this point for the county commission. The county has continued to refuse to publish a budget for anyone to look at.
Haven't we been through this before?
We went through this last year, and finally we got them to publish the budget that had been approved in July. We got them to publish that budget in October. Now we're at the same thing for our new budget. We're required by the state to send them a preliminary budget before the end of this month here, next week. And yet the chairman and the vice chairman have decided not to put it on the agenda to be voted on at our last county commission meeting here in a couple days.
All right. So what do you think is going to happen?
You know, Kelly, what they're going to do is they're going to have staff send a budget to Santa Fe that the county commission not only hasn't voted on, but hasn't even looked at.
How is that possible?
Apparently, the state doesn't care if it's been approved by the county commission because it's just the preliminary budget, not the final one. But I'll tell you, Kelly, that this would be the first time in at least 30 years that the county commission has not voted on the preliminary budget before sending it to Santa Fe.
So who is putting the budget together, the secret budget?
Well, the budget's put together by the finance director and the county commander, the county manager, and then the chairman.
Who are these people?
So we've got Bill Noland as the finance director, Julia Brown is the county manager, and Billy Garrett's the chairman of the commission.
So this is their budget?
This is their budget.
So what is it, I mean, would they have a right to put a budget together that you didn't know, that you and the rest of the county commissioners didn't know about?
Oh, boy, Kelly, would they have a right to? It sure wouldn't be ethical, let's put it that way. I'm not sure of the exact legalities of if they could do it or not. They're in the process of doing it right now, and we're not getting enough upcry or outcry to make a change to that.
Do people even know what's going on?
I don't think they do, Kelly. You'll notice that this has not been covered in the Las Cruces Sun News. You had an article almost a month ago now where the city council passed their preliminary budget, doing their job on time like they're supposed to. But here at the county commission, that's not happening at all. And Kelly, I really think it's an issue of transparency. The county chairman, the county manager, Bill Noland, the finance director, don't want people to see what's in that budget. And the biggest reason I believe that they don't want people to see what's in that budget is what they're trying to do to the sheriff's department.
Really?
I think so. You've heard the rhetoric from the chairman that he is going to fund the sheriff's department and all this other stuff. But the fact is, every time it's come to a vote, he's voted against it. And we're sitting here today unable to look at the budget that they're sending to Santa Fe.
Do you know why the Billy Garrett doesn't want to fund the sheriff's department, or why he might have an axe to grind with them?
Kelly, I would tell you it's because it's not his top priority. He has other priorities that he wants to get taken care of.
Hmm. Well, what do the other county commissioners think about the fact that it's a secret budget?
You know, Kelly, the hard thing there is I can't talk to them because of the Open Meetings Act.
Can you talk to one of them?
I can talk to one of them, and I've talked to Commissioner Benavides as recently as yesterday, and we're trying to figure out how to put it on the agenda so that it has to be voted on. But that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for us to even vote on it when we haven't read it.
Oh, we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's me again. I just want to thank Ben for what he's doing. But, Kelly, I'll tell you why they don't want to fund the Sheriff's Department. It's all federalized the police force in this country.
It's broken up, Ben, but he says they don't want to fund it so that the federales can come in and take it over.
And you got a bunch of Marxists that are behind it, like this Billy Garrett. Poor Obama and
You're breaking up, Mike. Sorry. Hate to lose a good call like that, but call number 5 if you're keeping track at home. All right. So any truth to the idea that there's a bunch of Marxists trying to take over the sheriff department?
Kelly, you know, if that was call number 5, you might want to invite him in as a guest to the show. No, you know, Kelly, I really can't get into what the chairman is thinking in doing this. You've got the chairman and the vice chairman, Wayne Hancock, who are both have voted against funding the sheriff's department on several occasions. I used to think that it was because the sheriff was a Republican, Todd Garrison, and that's why he wasn't getting any support from the commission. Of course, when that changed to Enrique Vigil, Kiki Vigil, I figured he'd get the support from the commission, and that still hasn't happened. So unfortunately, we're continuing to fight that battle to make sure that they get taken care of. When you have a situation, Kelly, where a deputy in the sheriff's department can make a lateral transfer over to the city of Las Cruces and make $10,000 more a year, it's no wonder we can't keep any deputies.
Well, there are deputies in the sheriff's department and some real good people that I know. And
absolutely.
It is a little bit heartbreaking. And, you know, probably there's people in the sheriff's department that could quite easily move over to the city, but out of loyalty or that they actually enjoy taking care of the county, they're refusing to do it at a big cost.
At a big cost.
$1,000 a month.
You know, when you're talking about that, we've got a great people that love serving the residents of Doñana County and being out there and seeing them and helping to solve problems. And they deserve a lot of credit for that. Also, as we're talking about giving credit to the sheriff's department and deputies that we have on staff, one of the things that the county sheriff's department just won is first place in the robot competition that they had. I forget exactly.
Is that
what
a dance competition?
No, I hope not. No, it's a bomb squad type deal. We're trying to take care of bomb explosive equipment. So they did a real good job there.
Well done. Well, that's good. That's good to know. All right, we've got Ben Rawson in the studio, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. The number to call in, 523-1450. We're going to take a break. What are we going to talk about when we come back?
When we come back, we'll touch on the comp plan and the State Board of Finance.
Good. We'll be right back, folks. Mike. It is 7:19, and got Ben Ross in here, and we were talking about a couple of issues.
Yeah, Kelly, the other ones I wanted to get to, I'll just touch on real quickly for anyone that missed the first segment. We talked a lot about the budget and the fact that it's still not published so that people can look at it and try to put the pressure on the chairman and the county manager to publish that budget so that everyone gets a chance to see what's in it and stop hiding behind slideshows, because that's all we've gotten at this point is PowerPoint slideshows showing us what's out there. And Kelly, before I move on, one of those slideshows has shown that fences for the county will be $149 million this year. And I want to let your listeners know that $109 million compares to only $97 million in 2007. So since 2007, a 53% increase in spending, a 57% increase in spending at a time when the rest of the local economy has been in a recession.
And is life 57% better here?
Kelly, I think that's a great thing for your listeners to analyze, and maybe we'll get a call in on that. But Kelly, the other two things that I wanted to cover real quick is the county's comprehensive 20-year plan. That's on its final review tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday night. These are the last three chances that you have to be a part of that process, and it's really critical that you're there. Each meeting will be from 6 to 8 o'clock. Tonight's meeting will be at the Gadsden Independent School District. Tomorrow's meeting will be at the county government building on Motel Boulevard. And Thursday's meeting will be up in Hatch. And for exact locations, you can visit the county's website.
And what are we talking about?
The county comprehensive plan is a 20-year plan on what the county wants to do in the next 20 years. We've talked about that a little bit on this show in the past. It's got several new departments for the county, a lot of additional overreach, some restrictions on what farmers can do with their land. There's a lot of stuff in there. The whole plan can be viewed online, but it needs the attention of people because this is going to impact what happens for the next 20 years here in Doñana County.
Does it matter?
It matters a lot, Kelly. I'll tell you, this is probably one of the most important things going on right now. We can talk about the budget, but the budget's done in 1 year. It's a one-year thing, and it's gone. This is a 20-year plan that will impact people for 20 years, and that's a long time.
Now, do you think that Billy Garrett, Billy Golden Earring Garrett, sees himself as putting down a vision for the people?
Oh, absolutely. All you have to do is turn to about the sixth page in the plan, and you see a big two-page spread of him talking about promises to the people. It's definitely, the plan is very much a Billy Garrett vision for the county.
Would you call it a progressive vision?
I would, Kelly, and I'd point out that that plan was part of the contract to prepare this plan. This $3 million plan went to Don Kurtz, who's Billy Garrett's chairman, or excuse me, Billy Garrett's the chairman's campaign manager. And so that's how the money's been funneled, is through progressive groups like that.
Could you just go into a little bit more detail on this? That's kind of fascinating. Well, we do have a phone call here, so hang on to that question. How the money gets funneled, I guess. You said funneled, so it sounds like a combination of funding and funneling. Hello, this is Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, this is your old friend, Tim.
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Not much, brother, man. I was listening to your show. I cut off the radio, so I can't hear it anymore, but I just want to say a couple of things. One thing about Kiki, I did vote for him, and I don't really like him. But the other thing, I do want to know, why do you think the budget is more progressive for the county? What makes it progressive?
Yeah, specifically, Ben, what makes it more, what part of the budget or this vision for the next 20 years struck you as particularly progressive? And folks, the term progressive covers a period of time in American history from about 1890 to about 1910 and came up with many of the changes that we have today. But progressivism is today associated with socialism. It's just kind of another name for it.
You know, Jim, great question. And I'm interpreting your question talking about the comp plan, not the budget, because I don't know that the budget is really progressive. But on the comprehensive plan, the focus on that plan is on livability issues. And I would term that a progressive type plan. There's a whole lot in there about transportation and how we're going to move people around with public transportation. But what's lacking in the plan is any sort of detail on farming. And we are an agriculture community, and there's nothing in there that deals with real farms. You've got some little stuff for small farms and farm to market type things where you're dealing with real small. But when we're talking about the large farms that we have, especially in the outlining areas of Doñana County, up in Hatch, down south, that's completely left out. Water management. There's very little water discussion in the plan at all. That's been another problem that's in there.
Yeah, and what happens when we run dry in the next 20 years, like California, huh?
Then we're going to have a real problem with livability issues. But that's the focus of the plan, is just on livability issues, transportation, clean air. And although that's great, we need to have some job opportunities, and we need to encourage the economic development that changes. Right now, the county's gross receipts from July till February were down 7%. So that's 7% less economic activity that's taking place in Doñana County, and that's a problem we've got to change.
And that could be a coincidence, in your opinion?
No, there's no coincidence there at all, Kelly. Today's newspaper article from NMSU professor Chris Erickson talking about the fact that we are in a recession. We've got to pay attention to that and work to get out of that recession instead of just focusing on livability issues.
Well, from the national leadership on down, I get the feeling that the economy doesn't matter as much as progressive values. That is clearly a constant theme of theirs. Do you think there's any merit in that?
Kelly, I think the sentiment is right on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
I got to go ahead and head actually to work. Tell me really quick where I can find what you guys are talking about. You guys are talking about the comp, not the budget, and it's more progressive. Where can I find to read about that?
The comprehensive plan.
I have to catching up.
the comprehensive plan, there's two places you can go to get it. You can go to the Doñana County website, and there's a banner that goes across the top, and I think it's the third banner that's up there, so you just have to wait for it to scroll through. The other place that you could go is to the Viva Doñana website, and they've got that there for you to review as well. And, Jim, I just point out the last 3 days to have input are tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Right on. Thank you so much, Kelly. Hey, you guys have a great day. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jim. All right. So progressivism. I was thinking about this. You know, we are opposed to a theocracy. We don't want people, even Christians, coming in and telling us how to live our lives. Right. I mean, anybody who's a Christian, the vast majority, 99.9%, will say, I'm opposed to a theocracy. I like this pluralistic country, the society that we have and everything. When I think about progressivism and socialism and this kind of relentless movement to remake America, it strikes me as like a theocracy because you're not allowed to say no to any of this stuff. And if you do, and I'm including political correctness in this, you're painted as a very bad person.
Kelly, you are, and part of it is the impression that these politicians know better than the rest of us, and that's part of a problem as well. It's an elitist mentality that we're facing significantly right here in Doñana County, looking at the transportation issue. We had a transportation initiative on the ballot in November. It was defeated by more than 15%, which is a landslide in political terms. And yet the county commission is now going ahead to funding it themselves anyway, because obviously the voters didn't understand what they voted on. Mm-hmm. Kelly, that's a scary thing to say, and it's a problem. When our bosses have told us to do something, we need to follow through on it.
Absolutely. Is there anything else we need to go through?
Kelly, there's one other thing I want to talk about. This is something that we've been looking forward to for a long time. For those of you in Talavera and in Los Alturas, pay quick attention real quick here. I'm headed up tomorrow to the State Board of Finance meeting in Santa Fe. We are finally on the agenda to be heard for the cell phone tower at the Talavera Fire Station. So if you're in one of those two areas, please send me a quick email. Tell me that you want to see it or you don't want to see it so that I can include that in my packet to the State Board of Finance. But hopefully by tomorrow afternoon, we'll have a approval to get that built.
Fantastic. Okay, so, and about the secret budget, what would you tell the listeners, the voters, and the other members of the county commission?
Kelly, I'd tell everybody it's a vital transparency issue. That budget has got to be published, and people have to have a chance to look at it. And to send up a budget that nobody's been able to look at is absolutely dead wrong. Can I be more clear on that?
You heard it here, folks. Okay, you're going to take off?
I'm going to go ahead and take off, Kelly. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Ben. And, folks, we'll take a little break here. We do have one more phone call. Thanks for the call. If you just called in, call right back, or I'm going to go to break right now. It's AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And... take a little break here at 7:30 on the button. All right, so it's 7:34 on the 20th, and I'm going to look into this agenda for this 20-year plan tonight and try to figure out what's in it and get back to you on that tomorrow. It's 59 degrees right now. There's going to be a high of about 90. It's going to be real warm today and a low of about 57, so about 10 degrees or more warmer than it was last night. So quite a transition there. This bike situation over in Waco, Texas is still... They're still trying to understand what happened and try to figure out how to head anything else off. There is a question right now as to whether there are more bikers headed in that direction to, I guess, continue the fight. So there were 12 of these officers were there in the parking lot or were on the facility when this fight broke out, supposedly over a parking spot, but really over, it's a territorial battle. And the cops really came out ahead, I guess, because no cops were hurt. And nine of these guys died, and another 18 or 20 were hospitalized. And one of the things I found interesting is this Twin Peaks. This is a part of a national chain, and I think that they're getting kicked out of this chain. And I don't know if they're calling it a restaurant now, but it's a kind of based on Hooters. But I thought it was remarkable that they refused to cooperate with the police when such a bad outcome happened. And yeah, somebody asked me if they could be sued. Absolutely. Here's a little bit more breaking news from CNN on this story. And that is from CNN. So one of the stories that I read about this was that when the shooting broke out, that a number of patrons went into the deep freeze or went into the cooler area to hide in there. And I don't know how long it lasted, but it must have been incredible. 170 people were in custody, were placed in custody after the fight, although three were accidentally released. And they said that there was an extra bike gang that had showed up. And so, and really this is a, you know, this isn't just a battle over clubs. It is a fight over organized crime. These biker gangs are, according to these stories, are part of a organized crime network. And so it's not just a territorial fight, the Cossacks, Bandidos, Hells Angels or whatever. It is a fight over who gets to control, say, for example, the drug trade or the prostitution trade in a town. So there's a lot of money involved. And so it's just going to be a continually developing story. Okay, so take a break here, and I'm going to come back, and I've got a little bit on this situation, the developing situation in Libya, which I thought you might find interesting, because it looks like Libya is increasingly under the sway of ISIS. And one prominent liberal commentator is blaming that on Hillary Clinton. So 7:40 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We will be right back. Kelly and 743. It's about 60 degrees out right now, and high is going to be 90, low of 57. It's getting quite a bit warmer, maybe 10 miles per hour of wind. All right, so, you know, we know that, and just to kind of cap off this last story, I'm going to go and talk about Libya for a minute, but I just wanted to let you know that there is a movement in the Texas legislature right now to legalize open carry. And open carry is when you've got a gun, you know, gun on your hip or wherever. It would legalize it. And there's a kind of a debate going on right now, especially with the shootout at the Twin Peaks, that, you know, we don't have too many guns. We don't have, we're not lacking gun rights. We got too many guns. And I would say the opposition says to that, these people were not carrying openly. None of these bikers had a gun on their hip. They were carrying them, you know, when they're wherever, but that when the fight broke out, they pulled them out. It's that really doesn't have anything to do with open carry. Open carry is for people who are law abiding to be able to protect themselves. And so, for example, the shootout in the restaurant, or just imagine you're, let's just say you're in that theater up in Colorado And this kid, this crazy kid comes in, the Joker, whatever the guy's name is, he comes in and starts shooting, and it's like a shooting gallery. He knows no one is carrying a weapon because they're not allowed to carry a weapon, and therefore he could just, like, take his time and pick people off. But if there was open carry, they could have blasted this guy and saved many lives, and it always happens in these situations. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Tom.
Hey, Tom.
You got to have zero tolerance for these gangs. When you see them in the colors or anything, you should put them in jail. There's got to be some sort of statute, a RICO statute or something, that they're involved in prostitution and drug dealing and all that.
Well, I guess there's two things. One is the right to join in a group or a club or whatever. That's one issue. And then if the club is involved in organized crime activities, then you probably could use RICO against them. And I don't know if the government's ever done that before on these biker gangs.
Yeah, because this is just going to escalate. I hope they all get together, the banditos, and go down there and fight the police. That's what the police are for. We're paying them to keep us safe. And if they got to go to war with these guys, they should.
All right, so...
It's 8-0 now.
Nine.
Nine to zero.
Okay, Tom, thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
I'll
Have
you
a good
go.
Day. All right, folks. So what do you think about that? I mean, do you think that I put out the argument for the NRA or whatever, but what do you think about it? I mean, if you see somebody carrying a weapon on their hip, if they're not a cop, does it intimidate you, or does it make you feel uncomfortable? Does it make you feel unsafe? I will leave you with that question. Now, here is a little bit on Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton has taken her first question in like 60,000 minutes. They had the figure up on the Drudge Report, which I was kind of fascinated at, that they had listed how many minutes had gone by in her press conferences. And then so finally somebody asked her a question, and Hillary says something, well, when I finish talking to these polite people, I might answer you, but then again, I think I'll take a few days to think about the answer. So she got a little frosted. I guess you're not allowed to ask her questions, but here is Chris Hayes from MSNBC, the ultra-leftist network, according to some people, that he's criticizing here. Libya is become an ISIS state. All right, so a little bit broken up there, but the point is that if Hillary is running for president, when she was Secretary of State, her actions, according to Chris Hayes, and I guess he's not a Hillary fan, is saying that ISIS took a stranglehold in Libya as it fell into ruin. So here's what happened is, that if you want to blame it on Hillary, you can. If you want to blame it on somebody else in the administration, what happened was that we heard about or were told about this Muslim Spring. This is where groups were kind of rising up in these various Muslim countries. Now, we had strategic relationships with some of these people, such as Mubarak in Egypt, and that relationship did not keep us from supporting the rebels. And that was true in Libya. We had a relationship with Libya, although it was different. We did have a relationship with Muammar Gaddafi, the leader there. And so you can go around. There's these various states where we supported these uprisings without any consideration of what kind of people were trying to take the country over. And it was invariably ultra-militant Muslims, because that's where these people live. And so now Libya has fallen. It has been taken over initially by rebels, and now ISIS has consolidated its power there. ISIS is probably a lot more powerful in Libya than it is in Iraq and Syria, and they have a base now. The most disconcerting thing is that they have military weapons that were taken over from the state, and they have vast riches from oil, and they're right across from the Mediterranean. They're on the top of Africa from Europe. They've already threatened Europe. So what is going to happen when these guys, I mean, at some point it seems like common sense, they're going to get a hold of a nuclear weapon. What are they going to use it for? Are they going to drop it on Rome? They said they want to kill the Pope. You know, we've seen time and time again, ISIS is an extremely vicious group that will do anything they can to make their point that they reject the West and they want Sharia law around the world. All right, folks. 751, this is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. It is about 60 degrees now. It's going to be a high of 90, low of 57, 10 miles per hour of wind. We'll be right back. Kelly, 754, about 60 degrees out there right now. And here's a little bit from Mara Liasson, who's on NPR, talking about the nuclear arms race in the Middle East that I was kind of hinting at there. And so that's an issue, the public or the foreign policy that we've had in the Middle East. What has been our intention? What's been the effect and stuff? The intention for the Muslim Spring was obviously to bring more freedom. But if Muslim militants get in control, that's not more freedom. It's less freedom. Now, this article in the Wall Street Journal that I was reading says that ISIS has gone into Libya. They've established a foothold there. They're trying to get control of the whole country. And the real question is, can they keep the population satisfied? Now, here's the problem. ISIS rules through intimidation and bloodshed and terrorism executions and that stuff because it's a rebel war that they've waged and they're spreading out and everything. Once you take over a country, though, you have to switch over and try to keep the people happy, or you've got your own rebellion on their hands. And so what they're trying to do is to establish themselves in this state and make it an ISIS state. And so how successful they will be at that remains to be seen, but they're not getting where they are by statecraft. They're getting where they are through terrorism and fanatical commitment to the Sharia law. But, you know, I think that the most serious problem in this, other than them taking over areas of the globe that were not sympathetic to Islam, is that they're getting a generation of young kids enchanted with radical Islam and the fight, and they're having success, and they see that America says, we're going to go wipe you out. And then they keep spreading, and they're moving. If you look at a map of where ISIS controls, it's very small, but it's along these roads, and it's in these little cities that they can take over. It's not big, but it's pretty far flung. And now we've got to try to figure out, number one, if we're committed to going and wiping them out, and that has to be part of a larger plan. If we do wipe them out, why? I mean, what's the argument other than they're evil people killing innocents? And then there's got to be a plan to do something afterwards, or another ISIS is just going to spring up, right? So it is an interesting time to be alive, isn't it? And to try to guess what's going to happen. Anyway, you've been listening to Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. We're going to come back tomorrow and do it again. And thank you for listening in. It's been a real pleasure. Hope you have a great day. Meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.